The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Back. Final hour has arrived. We thank you for being here on this Tuesday night. Let's go back to the calls. And Larry is up next.
Hey, Feinbaum. How you doing?
Hey, man. Larry.
Pretty well. Yeah, I want to tell you, I thank you for that apology, man. It's heartfelt, I know. And I appreciate it. You know, I mean, you've been friends a long time. And I think we mended everything pretty good.
But Larry, I'm glad you're back. Sometimes callers move on, and I'm indifferent. With you, I was genuinely hurt.
I know, man. I was upset, and I went overboard, and I know I did. I apologize to the listener, you know, that heard that, and that was pretty stupid, what I said. But sometimes emotion gets the best of me. I've never been a character not to go off the rails, but this is going crazy, man. I'm going to tell you something. What you said, Paul, you're absolutely right. I've listened to you. I don't know how you take it, man. I swear to God I don't. I mean, Daryl went off yesterday, started out good, and then went off the rails on Bear Bryant, and Saban's going to lead a team like Florida. And then, you know, our man comes in here with this thuggetry. That shocked me, man, thuggetry. These young men get out of there. They're upset, man. I'm sure they are, all of them. I mean, this is a black eye on the University of Alabama and all the players, and they're hurting for this young man. He went the wrong road, brother, and they hurt for him, and they know he did. They might have tried to stop him. I don't know. But you can't tie all the players and the university and everybody in on this. This is this man's decision to put that gun in his hand and do what he did. And to say thuggetry basketball and thuggetry football, I mean, you ought to be damned ashamed of yourself for putting these young men that bust their ass playing this sport and call them thugs. Man, what's wrong with you? This is a show that we have fun, and we hurt for people that hurt. Damn, come on, brother. Get your ass right. Thank you, Paul. Love you, man.
Thank you, Larry. That was fantastic, and so was Legends Call. And I thought, through tragedy and in conflict, oftentimes you hear what's really in people's heart, and you heard it there with Larry, and I think you heard it a couple of minutes earlier with Legend. And unfortunately, the antithesis is true of others, as we have also heard. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hello, Shannon.
Paul, pressure reveals character. That's why some folks reveal who they really are in a negative light, and some folks reveal who they really are in a positive light. You know, when you apply pressure, you find out what people are really made of. What was it? The Bear Bryant said, you don't know how hard the mule will tow until you hook into the load or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of great sayings about that, but it's true. You know, most of us have not been down that road very often, but when it hits you, if you're not prepared, it's going to be terrible.
And that's right. And the way people respond to it also reveals so much about their character.
Sure.
And I've always believed this, Paul. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Don't,
yeah,
don't
no,
expect
I, yeah.
anything else from them.
I don't want to gang up on anyone. I was fairly disturbed, not only with something that was said yesterday, but the aftermath, and that's as far as I'll go. But
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm with the aftermath, Paul. I'm just telling you, as details emerge about this situation, if what I read and saw, probably much like what you read and saw, is false and inaccurate, that I don't, if I never hear from him again,
yeah,
it'd be too soon. Paul, I wanted to talk to you about a different issue. And first of all, thank you for everything yesterday. I think it's a great cathartic thing that went on yesterday. A lot of people were just able to get a lot of stuff out of them that were hurting, you know, and I appreciate the forum to do that. But Paul, I wanted to kind of circle back a little bit to football, if I could, for a second, if that's okay.
Sure.
Paul, when is the NCAA going to do something about the tampering in the transfer portal? And let me just give you the foundation of what I'm about to tell you. As a plugged-in fan to whatever fan base you're plugged into, you hear rumors all season long. You know, player X or player Y is thinking about transferring to school X or Y because school X or Y has offered him an NIL deal to transfer. Now, you hear those rumors, and it's consistent rumors, and then the player ends up hopping in the portal, and he ends up committing where the rumor's been saying he was going to go all along. Let me further clarify what I'm saying by telling you this. You know, I coached for a long time, and I still have very many active head coaches that are personal friends of mine. And there's one that has a connection with a guy whose son is a Division I Power 5 backup quarterback, was highly recruited. He's been sitting the bench in a backup role for a couple of seasons. The family has been being contacted consistently by schools in the Southeast offering six-figure NIL deals if the guy will enter the portal. Now, they're not contacting the kid directly, but they're contacting his parents, his mother, and his father. That's tampering, Paul. There's no doubt about it. When are they going to, or are they going to do something about it? Is anything going to be done about it?
Shannon, the answer right now is nothing is going to be done about it. It's a problem that is pervasive, and I mean, I alluded to it a couple of weeks ago, but I can tell you with great authority that Mississippi State players, the day after Coach Leach passed away, were being tampered with, and that's one reason the school probably expedited the hiring, because I realize this is warfare, but come on, can you imagine the conscience of a coach who would try to steal a player a day after their head coach died? But that's where we are right now in college football,
and that's just terrible. For number one, it's terrible for the sport, and number two, I find it very ironic, Paul, that the schools that we heard about all last season that were the most active in the NIL tampering, whether it be in recruiting or whether it be in transferring, are also the ones that face quite a bit of bad situations during the season. I mean, they weren't bowl eligible, or they did not perform up to standard, or they lost to, say, Tulane in a major bowl game. You know,
That's hard to figure out.
Yeah, but they're out there buying players left, right, and sideways. You know, you look at Texas A&M, they've got 27 players have entered the portal.
But, Shannon, you know that as a coach, I heard this secondhand, but there's a famous incident that happened last spring that a very prominent player was up for bid and a very prominent coach did not bite. Had that person done it, we might be talking about a completely different dimension today, but the school that you alluded to a minute ago ended up with that player, and look how it turned out. I know I've given you a jigsaw puzzle there, but you can figure it out.
It's not too hard to put the pieces together, Paul. And when you hear coaches talking about months ahead of signing day, the class that they're going to put together based on, and nobody's even committed yet, but they're going to put together the best class ever. You know, I mean, that doesn't leave much question. But, Paul, I'm bothered by it as a fan, not just for my program, but I support for every program. And it's not just the school. It's not University A, B, or C has got a bad culture or a bad program. It's that another school's just offering.
But, Shannon, we are now one year removed from where all this, you know, hit the mother load. And the portal, the only thing we've seen change is the portal window. But that's not the problem. It's what's going on, and you said it, and that's why I take recruiting seriously, but I don't take it nearly as seriously as I used to because of what you just got through alluding to with Texas A&M.
Well, and I'm gonna say one more thing, Paul. And this may not go over very well, but I find it disturbing that Deion Sanders could come into his first team meeting with his players and tell him, "I'm bringing some luggage with me." Now. does that mean that he's already talked to those kids about transferring from Jackson State to Colorado?
Probably.
Apparently he had at some point. So that, to me, is on the fringes of what's legal and acceptable, you know? But, again, I guess that we're just in an anything-goes world right now, and it's very discouraging and very disappointing for kids, you know?
So. But ultimately, Shannon, as great a coach as you were or the coaches that you're friends with, they can't coach players if they've been bought and paid for, and you understand why.
Exactly, because you have nothing to hold them accountable. You cannot hold them accountable because they've got the power over you, which is exactly why you saw programs that were supposed to be so great based on what they pulled out of the portal and recruiting crumbled towards the end. You can't build culture that way. You cannot build culture.
Now, my only concern, Shannon, is this. For those who abstained initially, they probably didn't abstain the second go-around because they really couldn't afford to, and we're going to see evidence of it on the field in the next season and especially off the field, because I started hearing about a certain program's locker room issue about 2-3 weeks into the season, and man, did that ever come true. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls here, and TG is up next in Tennessee. Hello, TG.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well.
Hey, great. That's good to hear. Hey, I love your show, and I know it was a sombering show yesterday, but you had some really good callers call in, and that shed some really good light on some things. And you know, these are just young men in the football area. Of course, there's young women too, but you know, these are young people. And I know they're adults, most of them are 18, but they're not fully grown yet. And it just, you know, life is fragile. You had some really good callers that shed some light on things such as the power of prayer, of family, of support. And anyway, and my hat's off to you, because you don't get those kind of calls. And I know you had a few bad callers, but you don't get those kind of callers unless you've had a great show. And I've listened to you off and on for years, but here lately, the last few months, I've been listening to you very regularly. And this is only my second time to call in. But I wanted to say that. And it is a sad time. Life is fragile. And like legend said, it's about choices. And sometimes you're just, things just happen. You know, the gentleman that was 89 that called in yesterday, you know, death comes sometimes when you just don't expect it. And it is sad. But the best thing we can do is to be human to each other. This is just a game that we all enjoy. And we love college football. I love college sports, period. But in any event, at the end of the day, we're all people. And we're all trying to get along. But anyway, aside from that's what I wanted to say there. But I have a question for you.
Okay, sure. No, absolutely.
About the ranking, I'm a big Volunteer fan, and for Legend and some of the, I love Legend, he's great, and all your other guys, they have their passion. But hey, Tennessee football is for real, and they better get ready if they're not. I don't think people really took us that seriously this year, even though we were one game away from playing in the final four. And you know, we flubbed it out against South Carolina, and the rest is history. Hendon Hooker got hurt, and so, but Joe Milton's a capable backup. He had a couple of great games, and I think he's going to be a great quarterback next year for the Vols.
Yeah, TG. By the way, I completely thanks for everything you said. I agree with you on Tennessee, and they've always been that program. Maybe because we both have familiarity with it. They were not going to stay down forever, and a lot of people have feared them getting it right, and they have gotten it right. Let's take a break. A few more minutes to go here on a Tuesday night.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here Tuesday night. Jamie is in Chattanooga. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
I've called you multiple times. You probably don't remember me. I've got the twins on the color guard down there in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. I do remember you calling.
And I was down there. I've been down the past 2 weekends, and I was down there this weekend, and we took our mother-in-law, who had never visited the campus, and took them and showed where the girls' classes was at Lloyd Hall and up the strip and the Walk of Champions where all this turmoil happened. And first of all, I want to say condolences to the family and friends that love the player, the ex-player at Georgia, I'm sorry. But, you know, it makes it surreal when you have twin daughters that live at the Crimson, which is, as you know, the south end zone of the stadium.
Sure.
And going over to Lloyd Hall and showing them the Arts and Sciences building and coming up the strip. And then go back to their apartment to spend the night to leave the next day. And this happens at 1:45 in the morning while we're sleeping, not even a half a mile away. And my heart goes out to the family in Birmingham of the young lady and her 5-year-old child. And I just want to tell you that the things that, like, your callers are saying, you know, dude, this is real life. This is basketball and football and whatever you want to talk about is a game.
Hey Jamie, if I could ask you, how are your daughters coping with this being so close in proximity to what happened?
Well, I didn't find out about it until I got home because we live in Chattanooga, 3-hour drive, and I get my AL.com news alert.
Right.
But they had already knew it before I did, but they didn't want to tell us because we were driving. So we've had long conversations on FaceTime, and they're not doing well because they walked to most of their classes, and I've, you know, even threatened to get them one of those VOs, electric scooters, because I left them a car, but they're so close they want to walk, but it's kind of, you know, hit home hard.
No, I can imagine. And for those who don't know, this is an area that, nobody would think twice about walking around this area at any time of the day.
Exactly, Paul. Exactly. That's, you know, you got, like this weekend, I saw the recruits with the escorts and the taking them around and then the potential juniors and seniors.
Right.
I went over the 3rd early in the morning, and there's just a lot of people out walking. exactly right. And you would never think. And, you know, you have the police department of the campus right over there by the law school.
Sure, just down the street.
Yeah, and it's just surreal. But I just want everybody to just remember that, you know, I love you so much and everything you do, and I've told you so many times what a heart you have of gold, and they don't pay you enough. But anyway, just people just think of people like me and who has twin daughters down there, and they have daughters and sons, and this is real-life circumstances, not only for the victims, but for everybody.
Yeah, Jamie, are you still there, Jamie? I think we lost Jamie. I apologize for that. Let me grab John next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're well. Thank you.
I just had a little bit of concern about this Darius Miles. He's an individual that happened to be a basketball player at the University of Alabama.
Correct.
I hate how people want to associate, you know, this charge, because I don't know the details of it, and I don't know if he's guilty or not guilty or whatever. I mean, that's for somebody else to decide. But I hate how they just associate the University of Alabama basketball program with this. I mean, what do they think, that other basketball players had a hand in it, or Coach Nate Oates?
Yeah, John, I think that's the important thing to remember. What little we know about this, there's no evidence to support that anyone else was involved other than these two players. We'll take a short break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Appreciate all of you being here. And Squirrel is up next.
Thank you for taking my call. And we've had some great calls the past couple of days. And you and I are about the same age, and we ran around the same areas in our younger days. When you were strolling up and down Cumberland Avenue or walking through the parking lot of Uncle Sam's, did you ever worry about getting shot?
Never. Never thought about it.
Me either. It literally never crossed my mind to worry about getting shot. Maybe getting my ass kicked was a possibility, but getting shot, I mean, it literally never crossed
Squirrel, my mind. I was more concerned about standing up as opposed to anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And in those days, if young men were out chasing leg, I mean, I don't know what they're out doing today at 1 or 2 in the morning. But obviously they've got other things on their mind. But when did our society change, Paul? And why do you think it changed?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just think it's an evolution of time.
I think some of these years ago, when these violent video games came out that just desensitized people about shooting somebody in the face with a gun, I said then, this is not good for our society. And glorifying gangsterism in movies like we have, I don't think that's good for our society. But you hear people calling for an end for guns. People don't realize how many millions of guns we have in this country. Do you own a firearm, Paul?
We do have one, yes.
Yeah, is it for protection or for recreation?
Protection.
Exactly. And everybody's entitled to own a firearm for protection. It's one of our rights. And so people to say we need to stop guns or have tighter gun laws, that just hurts law-abiding citizens like you and I. And we need to change our hearts is what we need to do. I got my first firearm when I was 12 years old. I own a gun safe made by Liberty that you can't put another one in. And none of those guns have ever killed anybody because I've never had that intent in my heart. And I carry one for protection now. I've had a talk with you about a 17-year-old gunman that followed my wife and her girlfriend home and carjacked them in our driveway at gunpoint 20 years ago. And the young man did 16 years in Parchman before he was ever eligible for parole. He just got out a few years ago. And we approved him getting
out. By the way, Squirrel, I think it's a remarkable feat to survive a day at Parchman, let alone 16 years.
Well, the young man was 17, and they sentenced him to 30 years, and he had to do 16 before he was eligible for parole. And they sent us a letter a few years ago, what do you think about this? And I said, I think he's done enough time for what he did. He did more time than some people do for murder. And I said, and tell him I hope he learned his lesson, and tell him if he comes to my property again, I'll kill him. And I tried to kill him at night. That's a different story.
But, yeah, I understand.
But the police caught him. It was a high-speed chase. It was a big deal, and it was a big deal around Jackson. But my point is, there's people have to take their kids and start teaching. And young men, they're young men. Men are killing people. Not a lot of women kill people. People need to teach kids or do whatever they've got to do to change their hearts, because in our day, you didn't get disrespected and then pull out a gun and shoot somebody. I mean, that was literally never a thought in my mind and never a worry in my mind. So more gun laws is not the answer. People, like I said, just need to change their heart and change society, and I hope it happens soon. But thank you for taking my call.
Aloha. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Todd is up next in Alabama. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul, it's been a rough month and a half, but hey, I echo everything Squirrel said and Legend today. And my heart really goes out to the students and the parents of the kids that lost their lives over at Georgia. It broke my heart, but I always try to look for something. God showed me a sign. And Friday, I couldn't sleep. I got up and come out to the garage because I smoke. I got a Bible sitting here, and I'll read it. I walked back in the house, and I cut television on YouTube. I shut the door to where it won't wake my wife up, and I listen. And I always try to relate things to my life. And a song comes on the YouTube thing there, and it was Sad Eyes, and it was Robert John sung it years ago when I was a teenager. And it says, I knew there'd come a day when we would have to say goodbye. And I relate that to them kids in heaven right now, singing it back to their parents, their sisters, their brothers, and their loved ones that they lost over in Georgia. Paul, it breaks my heart. This has been a rough month and a half, but I got to tell this at church Sunday and Sunday school about how much that Paul Feinbaum lets God flow through his studio and lets him take over this show. Paul, I love you, brother. You have a great day, and I'm glad you let me get in.
Todd, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. You be well. JK is up next.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
JK, good to hear from you.
Hey, Paul, man, first of all, let me send out my prayers, man, and condolences to the Georgia family and the young lady that lost her life down in T-Town. You can't control what people do, Paul. You just have to keep praying and hope things get better. But like I said, my heart goes out to those families, because I got a kid that plays basketball in high school, and anytime something like this happens, my mind immediately shifts to my kid. So, man, it's just heartbreaking for everybody all around. But, Paul, I heard you say something earlier. You guys had a conversation about the greatest quarterbacks in college history. And I fear to hear you, as a talk show host, you left off Michael Vick. And you left off Chester Verde. And you left off Jim Kelly. And you left off Bernie Kosar. For what reason, I have no idea. But those are some of the greatest.
First of all, I had not thought about it. The man asked me on the spot. I was trying to come up with what I thought was a good collection of quarterbacks, not the best collection of quarterbacks that either played at the university that played at the University of Miami. And you know, I think Michael Vick is certainly an amazing quarterback. I'd have to think whether I put him in that list or not, though.
Hey, Paul, you're supposed to be quick on your feet.
I didn't come up with five or six choices. I mean, I didn't sit here and go, hey, can I call you back? I gave him about six or seven selections. You heard those, didn't you?
Yeah, I ain't following you, but you left some of the greatest out, Joe Willis and Ken Stabler.
I don't think Kenny Stabler would be on that list, in my opinion. There was only five spots available, okay? Hey, name me 50 quarterbacks you've seen. The guy asked me, can you name me the five best quarterbacks in college football history? And I gave him seven or eight.
Hey, Paul, but you know what? It's just like I always say, just an opinion is going to – you can call – get –
And by the way, JK, I don't think I had a Bammer in the group, did I?
No, I don't think you did. Hey, but I still like Snake and all those guys. But
I think Snake and Namath were fantastic quarterbacks, but I don't think either one of them belonged among the five best college quarterbacks of all time.
Okay.
JK, you do understand what we're talking about here, don't you?
Of course I do.
This isn't the 50 best quarterbacks. This is the five best. Who would you put on your five best list?
That played in college, not what they did in pro.
No, this is only college. I don't care about the pros. That's for somebody else.
What about Donovan McNabb? We just talking college, right?
He was very good, but he would not be on my five best list, no. I had Chris McNair. I thought he was probably the most interesting guy, the guy said, Aaron McNair.
Yeah. He was definitely one of them. But like I say, you're going to get
You're giving me one. You got four more? You got four more, or are you just going to go wave the white flag at one?
No, I got my three from Miami and Michael Vick.
Well, your list is pretty bad, in my opinion. How could you leave Tim Tebow off your five best college quarterbacks?
Man, you know what? Your love affair with Tim Joel Osteen Tebow.
You knew it. Hey, JK, you knew I was going to bring him up, did you?
Oh, hey, you can't leave him off.
And by the way, as I said, Tebow, I think Danny Werfel would probably belong on that list, too.
Hey, Paul, you know good and well, Tebow was what do they call him at Alabama? Game manager, and it told on him as soon as he got to the pros.
Yeah, but JK, we're talking college. I think he was a terrible pro quarterback, but he was a great college quarterback.
I don't think he was an NFL quarterback.
Call Tim a game manager?
Yeah. That's what he was.
No, I mean, Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron were game managers. Tebow was not a game manager.
And back to those 500 different callers, if you get 500 more callers, neither one of them will bring up McElroy or McCarron.
Well, no. I mean, those guys are not on the five best quarterbacks in Alabama history.
Hey, come on, Paul. Come
hey,
on,
by
Paul.
The way, I mean, I would if you're going best quarterbacks in Alabama history, I might just look at the last four guys.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to tell you something you ain't going to believe me. I know you're going to disagree, but you know who was the best quarterback on Alabama's 1992 national championship team?
Well, I know Jay Barker was a starter.
Paul, I'm about to give you the answer. David Palmer.
Well, you know what? Without David Palmer, they would not have come close to a national championship. You're right.
You're exactly right, Paul.
He saved the season not against Miami. He saved the season with a punt return against, I think it was Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, you know what, Paul? I actually ran into him before they played us last year in August. I ran into him at a gas station. I told him we was going to get revenge, but of course I was wrong. We got our
JK, I'll tell you one more thing about this. He should have never played that year. He should have been kicked off the team.
Yeah, but they needed him.
No, so, he got arrested, I think, two or three different times, and Gene Stallings just completely looked the other way.
Yeah. He's not the only one that looks the other way.
I'm just making a point. I distinctly remember that incident because I have a couple of books of my articles, and I happened to see it a couple of months ago. Hey, JK, great call. Thanks so much. We'll take a short break, and we are back after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.